I'd like to read a parable that Jesus shared with his disciples. Before we distribute these elements, before we partake of communion, it's a really short parable. It's only two verses, but there is an amazing truth found in this parable. You can put the words up on the screen if you have them. Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. When I was a kid, I used to collect baseball cards. And I only did this for 2-3 years. Didn't get a very impressive collection, and I'd trade those cards. It was fun, but nothing serious. Now, there are some very serious baseball card collectors and some very serious baseball card collections. And there are some extremely valuable baseball cards, and people look all over. Ty Cobb, 1911 to 1914, that card is worth $273,000. Babe Ruth, 1914, $517,000. If you find the Honus Wagner, 1909 through 1911 baseball card, well, then you found the most valuable baseball card of all time, $2.8 million. Imagine finding that in someone's garage sale. In this story, we have a collector. The merchant in this story is a collector of pearls. He loves pearls. And he travels the world looking for pearls. He's probably got a collection of pearls, but he's always looking to trade up. And in this story, he comes across a pearl that he's never seen before, a pearl unlike any pearl that he's ever seen. And he says, I must have this pearl. And so what does he do? He sells everything. He empties the checking account, empties all bank accounts, sells his house, gets rid of everything that he owns to buy that one pearl. And for him, the transaction is completely worth it. He loves that pearl, and that pearl will be his possession forever. Now, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like that situation. What does that mean? How are we to interpret this parable? Who does the merchant represent? What does the pearl of great price represent? Well, there's a very popular interpretation of this parable. It's well known. A lot of people believe that it means this. In fact, there's a famous hymn that the church sings that is based upon this interpretation. And the interpretation goes like this. The merchant in the story represents you. You are the merchant. And the pearls represent all those things that you're trying to find to bring happiness into your life. And so there you are, you're searching the ends of the earth to find things that will bring you satisfaction, peace, purpose, meaning. And you're looking and you're searching and you try different things, but that doesn't satisfy you because the search keeps going until you find the pearl of great price. You get the pearl of great price, and then you find satisfaction. And in this interpretation, the pearl of great price represents Jesus. So the idea is you've been out in the world, you've been looking for all these things to give you meaning, none of it works. Finally, somebody tells you about Jesus. You hear the gospel, you hear how Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You receive Jesus, and your whole life changes. You have now found all the meaning and purpose in life that you've been craving for. Now, the principle of that interpretation of that parable is absolutely true. It is absolutely true that only Jesus can satisfy you. Amen? Everything that this world has to offer will not satisfy you long term. Maybe for a little while, maybe some temporary happiness, but not that inner, deep satisfaction that you're looking for. And you know, there's a lot of people, that's how they're living their life. They're looking for all these pearls, all these things that the world can offer. They try to find satisfaction in money, in career, wealth. Many people try to find satisfaction and meaning in fame or popularity. There are lots of people out there, they're trying to find satisfaction, meaning, and purpose in intellectualism, academics. People try to find it in relationships. There are people that try to find purpose and meaning in sex or in alcohol, drugs, the party scene. And some of those things might give a temporary buzz, but it ultimately leaves them lacking. And the world's always doing that. The world's putting these things out in front and saying, hey, go for this, it'll satisfy you. And not only will many of those things not satisfy you, they'll destroy you. Think of the person who thinks that alcohol will satisfy and then ends up becoming an alcoholic. Oh, drugs will satisfy you, and then it ruins your life. There was a man who was sitting in his garden, and he had these painted sticks in his garden, like stakes, just purely for decoration. And he was there watching, and he saw a caterpillar looking for twigs to feed on, went to the painted stick, started crawling up that painted stick looking for something. Nothing, went all the way to the top, turned around, couldn't find anything, came back all the way down to the ground. And then he watched the caterpillar go where? The next painted stick. That is a perfect picture of how many people spend their life. Many people are just going up and down painted sticks. The satisfaction that you want and that's real can only come through Jesus Christ. Jesus will satisfy you. He will give you that deep inner satisfaction that you're looking for. David said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He says, "The Lord's my shepherd, and because I know the Lord, I am completely satisfied. There's nothing else I need." It was Pascal who said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ." Please understand, there is only one way to find that purpose and meaning and salvation. It's Jesus. So the principle of that interpretation of this parable is absolutely true, but I don't think this is the correct interpretation of the parable. And why? Because the merchant had to go do something to get the pearl, didn't he? The merchant had to sell everything. The merchant received the great pearl, the pearl of great price, by human effort. Now, the scripture clearly teaches that you don't buy Jesus. You don't buy salvation. You don't get salvation based on any human effort. The scripture says that as people, we are sinners, we are poor, we are bankrupt in heart. There is nothing that any of us could ever do to earn salvation. You can only receive salvation. So I believe that there's a better interpretation of this parable. I believe the merchant in this parable is Jesus. Jesus is looking for pearls. And Jesus finds the pearl of great price. And it's Jesus who says, I want that pearl. And you know what? I'm going to give everything that I have for that pearl. Jesus is the merchant. What does the great pearl represent? The church. The great pearl represents you. See, that's the story of the gospel. Jesus came looking for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus searches for you. Jesus wants you. Jesus wants to save you and make you his own for all of eternity. And on this Good Friday afternoon, please understand that Jesus did completely empty the tank for you. He gave everything. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven and came to earth searching for you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became man, came to this planet. He came on a mission to save the human race, to save you. The scripture is very clear. Jesus came for one reason, and that was to die. He came to die. He came to give his life, his blood, everything away. The Bible says that we are all sinners, and our sin separates us from God, and our sin deserves death and punishment. All of us as sinners deserve to die. We deserve condemnation. But the Bible says if an innocent one would come and die in the place of sinners, that sacrifice would be accepted. And folks, that's what Jesus came to do. On that first Good Friday, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ gave his life away. We remember all of his suffering, all of his pain, how he was betrayed, how he was arrested, how he went through a mock trial, how he was beaten, how he was spit upon, how his beard was plucked out, how a crown of thorns was placed on his head, how he endured the scourging, the Roman scourging, 39 lashes on a bare back. He was literally tortured. We remember then how he was nailed to a cross, how he endured the cruelest form of execution that the human race has ever come up with. We remember that sacrifice today. And as bad as all that suffering was physically, please understand that wasn't the worst thing. The worst suffering for Jesus was when my sin and your sin was placed upon him. Your sin was placed upon the holy, spotless, perfect, innocent Lamb of God. He took all of that upon himself, and he endured the wrath of God the Father. In fact, at one point, God the Father turned away. Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No one could ever, will never be able to fathom the amount of suffering that Jesus Christ endured for his pearls. He gave it all away for you. You know, I find it interesting that the pearl here is a part of this story. I mean, a pearl is a pretty beautiful gem, right? How does a pearl come about? Did you know a pearl is a product of suffering? How is a pearl formed? Well, you get this irritating piece of sand that gets stuck inside the shell of a clam, right? Oyster. And it irritates and it creates pain. And the oyster coats this troublesome speck with layer upon layer of a crystalline substance called nacre, which hardens and becomes the actual pearl. Interesting, the more irritating the grain of sand, the more beautiful the pearl. I want you to see the symbolism in that. You know, we are these irritating bits of sand. We are sinners. We deserve nothing. Jesus pays everything for us at the cross and covers us with layer upon layer of his righteousness and his peace and his beauty. He paid it all. Everything for you. Isn't that beautiful? You might say, well, is there anything that I have to do? Yeah. Receive the gift. Christ has done all the work. He paid the price. He shed his blood. And by the way, on the third day, he rose again. And he's victorious. And he's here today, and he can save you. And how do you get saved? Allow him to buy you. Just say, Lord, take my life. Scripture says that you must receive Christ to have all of your sins forgiven. Listen, we are all sinners, and our sins need to be washed away. You cannot clean your sinful life up by yourself, can you? It's absolutely impossible. It's like the little boy who came in from outside and his mom said to him, hey, what's that on your right hand? And he said, oh, just a little mud. And the mom said, well, how are you going to get that mud off? And he said, well, I'm going to use my other hand to get it off. One dirty hand plus one clean hand equals two dirty hands, right? Any religion out there that says you can do this, you can through your own effort, you can get yourself clean. Absolutely wrong. You can't. By no human effort whatsoever can we have ourselves become clean. We must have our sins washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You must receive him. And I want you to have an opportunity right now, right here, at this service to receive him. We're going to distribute these elements. Jesus told us to remember what he did for us this way. The bread and the juice represent his broken body and his shed blood. He said, I want you to gather together regularly as my body, and I want you to remember what I did. Partake of these elements, and in doing so, you're proclaiming what Christ has done for you. Christian, I want you to worship your Lord. Hold those elements. Look at them in your hands. Consider what Jesus did for you. Evaluate your life. Are you serving him like you should? Let him show his love to you afresh. I was praying, Lord, polish your pearls today. Encourage your people. You are loved. Now, it may be that there are some here and you've never received Christ. I want to invite you to receive Christ and then partake of these elements. Maybe you're here because someone invited you. Maybe you just came in because you're searching. You heard about the service, and here you are. I don't believe in any accidents. I believe that Christ brought you here. See, when you come to Christ, you find out that you were never really searching for him. He was searching for you. And he just comes in and saves your life, changes you, makes you brand new. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask those who are helping me distribute to come forward. I'd like to have our worship band come up. We're going to pass the elements out. I would ask that you hold them. We'll take them together as a body, corporately. If you have never received Christ, I want to give you the opportunity right now. Literally, he has done everything for you. Let him have you. That's it. Receive him. If you've never done that, do that right now. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for searching for me. Thank you for how much you love me. Thank you for all that you've done that I might be forgiven of all my sins. I admit right now before you that I am a sinner and I need to have all my sins washed away. I believe that you died on the cross and shed your blood for me. Save me. Purchase me. Take my life. And then help me to follow you all the days of my life. I would ask that we all stay in an attitude of reverence and worship. Be thanking the Lord. Praise him. Again, I'm going to pass these out, and I would ask that you would hold them, and we'll take them together as a body in just a few moments. Just continue a few moments in a word of prayer, just silently to yourself, praying to the Lord all by yourself. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that you gave all. It's utterly amazing. I pray that right now you would lift up the spirits of your people greatly. I pray also, Lord, that you would motivate your people to serve you like never before. I pray that others, even right now, would begin to enjoy salvation in knowing you personally. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's all take together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again." By the way, you know Jesus is coming again. You know that on the third day he rose again. He's alive. He's ascended into the heavenlies. If you've received him, then he lives in your heart. And one day, I hope real soon, don't you? One day Jesus is coming again. Let's all stand and let's close with a prayer.